Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Seeking What They Sought. I'm one of your hosts, Anthony Leiter, and we're stoked to be back with you guys today. Over here at the podcast, we hope you guys are all doing well, staying healthy amidst a really crazy kind of nutty time that we're living in during the COVID-19 pandemic virus. We hope you guys are all staying healthy, washing those hands. It's crazy for all of us, right? It's been insane. And it actually kind of relates to the topic we're talking about today. So today on the podcast, we have a conversation and we ask the question, is the attending of church essential for Christianity and for Adventism? And we sort of delve into the dynamics of that. Is actually attending a church service necessary or important or even needed for those of us who say we follow Jesus? So we're super excited for this conversation. We are glad to have you guys with us. And thanks for sticking with us through this time. And we hope that we give you guys some interesting and thoughtful things to listen to in this episode. Awesome. Well, let's dive right into that episode right now on the question, is church essential?
So the world's shut down, the economy's tanking, everything that we know and love is up in the air. How's it not having church?
It's
I'm Jesse, by the way.
That's a loaded question.
This is fantastic.
How's church?
It's been great for me. This is
you, Anthony. How has it been for you? Hold on. But okay, so you've been at seminary for a while. Do you even go to church? Are you just like taking a break from the whole thing?
Ooh, that's I can neither confirm nor deny my church attendance or non-attendance. But what I can say is I sure am glad that for this time of my life, I am not in charge of being up at 8 in the morning on Sabbath. So yeah.
So wait, actually,
Anthony,
let me ask you this,
it's early.
That's a good point.
This is Eric and Sean, who have kids. Eric, what about you? What's not going to church like for a lowly lay person, a person who's just some regular average Joe that nobody ever cares about? What's it like for you?
It's interesting. I mean, we usually go to Crosswalk because we live in Loma Linda area.
Nice.
We live in Loma Linda.
Well, what's your address, by the way?
It's 2473 up your butt with a coconut.
That's one of the best things you've ever said to me.
It's interesting because I'm a filmmaker, right? So it's hard. It's almost harder for me because I'm judging the production.
Oh god, yeah. All of the terrible church live streams.
I don't know. The guys like to get a little bit creative with the camera angles and camera movement and. It's a bit much.
Nice.
We'll make sure Tim Gillespie doesn't hear this.
I'm going to ask you a more serious question about that later, Eric. But Sean, what's it been like for you? What's it been like not going? You're a teacher too, so you're probably not even working right now.
Yeah, I mean, we never work, right? I mean, summer's just break time. But
it's not even summer. But yeah, no, you never work. Nope,
that's right, never. Teachers never work. That's the secret.
As of right now, we're recording this at the very end of March 2020. He's saying he's not working.
It's not as well.
It won't be released till summertime. So
you're not wrong.
You know, I mean, it's not necessarily super weird. I mean, we like a lot of schools are doing distance learning. So I mean, it's been a learning curve, but I mean, it actually went surprisingly well. We did that for 1 week before spring break, but I've been on spring break, so it's not that unusual for my job since we're on spring break, but it'll be interesting next week as we get back to it. For school, for church, we've done a pretty good job with, you know, dealing with the situation by, you know, we have everyone basically get on Zoom and we just have a big conference and our pastor talks. We do a whole fairly normal service. We try to do music. So actually it's been going pretty well.
So here's the interesting thing. So we're talking about church, and especially we're in a weird time with church and everything. But for you, Sean, how many people would you say attend your church on an average basis?
Now or just like what before all this?
Yeah, before.
Oh, before?
Yeah, now, zero, obviously.
Well, no, but like attend, but okay, when we're saying attend, do you mean like people that on Sabbath show
people
up for
that
the
showed
video?
Up, yes, and this is interesting language. I want to talk about that more too. But yeah, like people that showed up to a church service on average.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were a small church. We'd probably get 50 to 60.
Now, would you say out of those 50 or 60, which I would assume you probably have like 80 to 90 in like rotating attendance, right?
Yeah,
or is
that's
it like pretty close to that 50 or 60.
It's pretty close. I would say maybe 10 to 15, give or take. Maybe. Mm-hmm.
Would you say that most of the 50 or 60 know each other at a more than just like, oh, I know their face? Would you say most people know each other's names?
Yeah, yeah, it's actually pretty close. With that small of a group, it's pretty pretty obvious that we all know each other. And there's obviously different groups that are closer and whatever, but I mean, everyone knows each other pretty much.
It's interesting because you have a small church. I have a small church too. I pastor a small church. It's probably around the mid 90s average attendance. But what's interesting
is that 300 before you got there, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. No, it was actually 700.
700.
And my whole goal was to find the holy. Mine was to find the holy and faithful who were going to go to heaven. So I whittled it down.
You whittled it down.
Gideon style.
So we've averaged 95 for the last year or so, and but we're also in a phase of the church's existence where there are the people who have come to the church for a long time and know each other, and then there's like the newer people who aren't super well connected yet. Mm. And so it's really interesting because I think there's a different vibe, and so I wanted to ask you, and then I want to get Eric's opinion being part of what we would in essence title a mega church. So like, it's interesting, Sean, because do you feel connected as a church body to
your
people?
It's actually been really surprising. Like it's actually been in some ways helpful. There are people that wouldn't normally be able to come. We're a pretty big commuter church. So most of our, at least half of our members are 30 minutes or more away from the church. So in a lot of ways, it's been helpful in connecting us. Like a lot of our different ministries, it's funny that we do Sabbath school an hour before church. And on an average week, I'd probably say, like for Rochelle and I, we haven't been able to go to adult Sabbath school for the last year since Olin was born. It's just kind of how it lines up with his naps, whatever, right? So this has made it possible to go every week to our version of Sabbath school and have that same discussion. And when you look at the attendees, there's like 25 people on, which is a ton for our group. Normally it's 5, 10 at most for Sabbath school.
So more people are attending Sabbath school being part
of the
conversation.
Way more coming. Yeah, way more coming to Sabbath school. Similar numbers I see with our week are during the weekday Bible studies. So everyone's still joining that. We've got a men's group after church and different ministries like that that are actually still going really well. So
it's interesting because the reason I ask is because so you have a small church where you're able to be more connected closer to people and your strength of relationship is probably pretty decent. Whereas what's interesting is my slightly larger small church with people not having been a ton connected previously, those who were already connected are staying in touch. Those who weren't previously connected aren't getting any closer. And I'm not saying that as a negative thing to anybody, but that's just kind of like realistically everyone's kind of like doing their own thing and but we've had a couple of cool things where all of our board members are keeping in touch with 4 to 5 people that are from our church, and one of my elders texted me and said, hey, there's this, you know, I don't think she's in her 80s, 70s, late 70s, 80s, she had her birthday, and so she told me and my wife, and so we went and took her flowers, stood 6 feet away from the door but took her flowers and stuff. Nice. So just like cool stuff like that's happening. But when we're talking about like strength of relationship, there's less of that compared to what's happening at your church, right? Mm. So then, Eric, I'm curious about your perspective coming from a church. What do you think the average attendance is at Crosswalk?
I think I want to say it's like 1,500 to 2,000.
Oh my gosh!
Something
so
like that.
What's
three services.
It like? Yeah. So what's church for you there? And I'm not asking like a accusatory thing, but
it is a bit different. Like? I think, you know, I think they do a lot of stuff to try to keep it, you know, grow relationships, but when you get to services and church that big, it definitely changes the dynamic of it. I think for us what church looks like is Basically, our really like closest core group of friends down here, they go there too. So it's kind of meeting up with friends at church. And
but now, would you say that you were friends with them before and you're kind of sticking around? Or would you say that you're connected to them because of church?
We were friends outside of church first.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would say, I wouldn't say we're really connected strongly, like, as a church family. Like, we haven't really made connections there that we wouldn't have made outside of church.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I think for us, it's like we go to church, you know, we experience the sermon together, and then we usually spend the afternoon or evening together after church, yeah. And we kind of will discuss it and think about it more. So
church,
it's almost like
kinda,
our church family is like our friend family too.
So I was going to say, church adds to your friendship group as opposed to church and your friendship group are kind of the same thing. Is that fair to say? And I'm not saying this in a negative way or
no.
I'm just the differences in the ways that churches are functioning right now.
Yeah, I would say church enriches our friend group. It doesn't add to our friend group. Does that make sense?
Gotcha. Yeah, yeah. So then, Anthony, what's it been like for you, seminary attendee who doesn't get up for church? So I'm just assuming that because you didn't say anything different. So,
I'm not confirming.
What's it been like
denying.
For you all alone in your little room in Michigan in the cold of winter?
Oh, man. So we never really said this, but we are recording this in March of 2020. So we're amidst the COVID virus epidemic currently happening. So because of that, essentially, all like the dorm has been cleared out essentially. So there's only a handful of students that are in the dorm still. Almost everyone on campus has left.
And you're at Andrews University.
Yeah, I'm at Andrews. So almost everyone on campus has left. So there's almost nobody here. A lot of the closer friends that I've made since coming to seminary have headed home. So I have friends that live in Maryland and Florida and Michigan and California. But there's a few that are still here. So there's like a couple couples and then two other friends that are still around. So we've been getting together a little bit every now and then, not too much. This was kind of pre the lockdown because there's like a lockdown in Michigan. Don't leave your house. So but essentially we've just been doing like video calls. So this last Sabbath we did like a little video call with the boys and had a little yeah, it was a little, one of us gave a little word, a little thought. We usually like kind of gather for Friday night worship at like Bible study at one of the houses of one of the guys. Anyway, that's kind of our rhythm. But yeah, so that's kind of how we've been staying connected.
So obviously like this has changed church massively. And of course, a lot of people are asking like, so what's going to happen after this? Like, how do we come back from this?
Mm-hmm.
But I think I'm just curious because I think this has exposed, if anything, and when I say exposed, I don't even mean bad. I just mean when you're separated from, it's like seeing things from a different perspective. And now we have the opportunity to do so mm-hmm. where we don't have church services every week. So now you actually have to redefine church, and every pastor's happy about that. Cause they're like, we've been trying to tell people for years. It's not just about, you know, your weekend service, but at the same time, it is potentially dangerous to the weekend service now that everyone's like, oh man, it's so nice not to have to get up and go somewhere, you know,
catch church from the crib, baby.
Yeah. So, I mean, do you guys see this doing anything to us, you know, good or bad? Like, is it doing something to us through this?
I mean, I can only speak from my own context. I haven't really thought about it on a larger scale, what would happen, but I mean, I'm not too concerned about that happening at our church, just with the way that our church is set up. I think people will be really excited to have that human connection again. And I don't think that this would be like, oh, let's forever do Zoom conferences for church. I don't think this is definitely not the ideal. I mean, it works surprisingly well. It's better than nothing. It continues the connections you already had. You're not going to make friends over Zoom. I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to. I don't plan Same. To. Maybe I should. But I've enjoyed continuing on the things that we're doing as a church. But I mean, it's kind of a weird time because we've talked about doing a bunch of outreach where we've been building up to stuff for the last 6 months to do at our church to start in May. And now obviously that's changed drastically. So it's, you know, currently our church just discussing what are we going to do and how are we going to change that? Are we still going to do that? Do we put this on hold? Do we transform what outreach looks like temporarily? So that's kind of where we're at right now with that. But I'm not concerned about once this settles down and we can go back that we're going to lose people. I'm not overly concerned about that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting because I'm an introvert, and so honestly, this has been amazing. Like, if people weren't dying, this would be great, you know?
Yeah.
And something I was talking to my wife about, and it's not so much that I don't like people. It's just like I don't mind, you know, being alone and kind of having space and time for myself. But I was telling my wife as we were walking the other day, because we're home a lot more, we're working on projects at home. I'm doing work, but it's like at a different, it's not like I have to go a bunch of places, you know, and be driving a lot or traveling or staying out late for evening meetings and things like that. So I'm home a lot more. And I was just telling my wife, I was like, man, this feels a lot, this pace feels a lot more human in the sense that like, and I think in general, the biggest problem that I was having before all of this was everyone being so busy. Hey, can you do this? Hey, can you do that? Oh, you know, I'm just like, yeah. And then they have a list of 17 different things. And it's not so much that people are bad. It's just that that people's lives are full of things. And all of a sudden we got a bunch of time, you know, and it's weird because it feels so much more human. And honestly, there is a certain level of this, and this may be scary for people to hear a pastor say, there's a certain level of this that I'm like, the church gathering recently has become more about a stop for a second and like take time for God. And now we all have like a ton of time. And so the need to have a church service feels a little bit less because you can be more connected to the people around you. I don't know.
So essentially you're asking the question, is church even essential? Like, is the gathering itself, like the gathering together in a physical space together once a week, is that essential for us?
I guess I'm wondering that, not like seriously, like, oh my gosh, we should just change everything. But there is something about this that's just like, man, this is good for us. And maybe it's just for a specific period of time, but I don't know, like being more connected to people, having to think about people differently, looking out for each other as opposed to always just looking out for what's in your own plate. Like there's something really human about that in a good way.
I don't know what Eric and Sean think about this. I think that one thing that I have felt is, what does Sabbath mean anymore? And I think that for a lot of my life, I associated Sabbath with rest, but also with community. And I think that now that the community element has been taken away, it's like, you know, like I said, cause we're in Michigan, we're in lockdown, like a lot of other states, you know, Sabbath comes and goes and the days blur together. And I think I'd been in my house for like 9 days in a row without leaving when Sabbath came. And I was like, wow, this is nuts. What does Sabbath mean anymore? And it's like when there's literally nothing else to do, it's like, well, you know, I could read my Bible. You know, I can't read my Bible all day. I mean, I could. Maybe I'm, I haven't reached that level.
You sinner.
I'm just a sinner. I'm a heretic. You know.
Don't you know that like every good pastor reads their Bible for that's 17 true. Hours out of a 24-hour day?
If God had a naughty and nice list, like if God was the Santa of pastors, I feel like I would probably be getting cold.
You'd be on the naughty list.
Yeah, yeah. Because I mean, there's only so much of your day that you can like listen to worship music, listen to a sermon, read your Bible, read a Sabbath material. You know, it's like, yeah. So I feel as if like that's something I've been kind of wrestling with. Like, what does Sabbath even mean anymore in the practice sense, in the practical sense? That's
well, I hear you on that. But like when we're talking about church, church obviously has something to do with Sabbath. As Adventists, we have connected it to Sabbath in a way that isn't necessarily like a command biblically. Not that it's a precedent, not a precedent biblically, but it's not a command biblically. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to recognize that having a gathering on Saturday isn't the way, you know, like the Jewish people didn't do that until they were exiled to Babylon, you know, so there's not a specific command. So when we're talking about Sabbath, like Sabbath in and of itself, yes, this whole thing's going to mess with you because you're not necessarily working as intensely, depending on who you are, working as intensely during the weeks. But when you come back around to church, it's like church is centered around gathering together about being face-to-face in the same room, you know? And yet at the same time, I weirdly feel like I've connected with my family members, I've connected with some of my friends more than I do when the pace of life is crazy, including as a pastor having to put church on every week, having to make it happen. Like, I find that I'm far less able to connect with people because I'm having to make church happen. But all of a sudden I can connect with people better. Isn't that weird?
The irony.
So are you saying, because Jesse, you're connecting this to your family, but what about like the rest of your church members? Do you feel like you're able to connect with them more during this?
Yeah, certain people for sure. There's a funny thing I think here in where my church is at, a lot of people are self-sufficient, taking care of themselves to a large degree, which isn't bad. And so while we're keeping in touch with people, most people are like, yeah, I'm fine, I'm good, you know, just making it work, you know, all those things. So there's less of a like dire need. But what's funny is when you do connect, there's like this, oh man, that was really good, that was really nice. But yeah, I don't know, maybe I'm just talking about pace a little bit more. Maybe this is actually more of a cultural commentary than it is talking about church, but I just feel like church gatherings have less importance all of a sudden than having community. But the problem is having community in a busy culture makes the church gathering more important because you don't have that community elsewhere. So it's this weird paradox, because as soon as everything comes back, we're gonna like rev right back up to the way that we lived all the time, and all of a sudden we're gonna need each other, you know. But right now we can slow down and engage with each other at a much healthier pace, it feels like, and engage with each other more deeply. So I don't know where that leaves church. Sorry. Church gatherings.
Yeah.
I go through multiple things in my head. I think when it comes down to it, my first question was, you know, when we're connecting with people, right? If we're trying to grow our church, if we're trying to deepen the relationships of those in the church already, is it more superficial when you're not there in person with someone? Like, you know, it's probably been said many times that when you're communicating with someone, there's something about being in the room with them, like face to face, when it comes to having a certain connection or trying to get a point across. Like, there's certain things that are lost even over video, right? So that's part of my first question is like, are we losing something? Are we losing a part of the connection in this by doing it this way? And you know, at the same time though, like church can be superficial, right? It can be very easily, especially the larger you get, I think it can run into that. Like it becomes an event versus a church family just getting together. So that almost leads me to wonder, like, is this a way to like force us to think about our church format to try to lead that actually leads us to this, you know, like that deeper, you know, conversation and deeper relationships? Is there something that we could change about our format, about our vision, our mission, just how we do church? You know, because we've already, at our church, we've already had those conversations about how do we do that. Usually it comes back to the idea of small groups, breaking up and doing focused groups where there's a need in the church. And in some ways that has answered a lot of questions. Like it's actually been really helpful for us to do those different things. But at the same time, it's like, what about the actual church service? You know, the way we do church, the way we do sermon, worship, whatever else that we tend to do, right? Some of the best times
feels like it has a lot less meaning right now. Like, I know pastors are still doing sermons and stuff, but I mean, at my church, we're doing this series called Let's Talk, and it's like an interview series with different generations. And people seem to enjoy that far more than if I was just preaching a sermon every week.
Well, that's because it's you.
Screw just the double. All of you.
Just back to back.
So let's just, yeah, let's take me as the factor out of it. It does seem like people enjoy the conversation a little bit more. Every single week, we're just sitting there like spewing information into people's lives. And now all of a sudden, we have some level of like separation from that. And so I know that some people really like sermons, but it seems like people are a lot more interested in the fellowship at this point, which is hilarious, because what kind of is the thing that ends up going as soon as we can't gather together? It's that we still want to gather together, but we don't necessarily want to hear a sermon, or we don't really like, I mean, music and stuff like that. Like, a lot of churches are trying to do it, but it sounds like crap because it sounds terrible over live stream, you know? So like less people are doing that. And it's just funny, like the things that are leaving what we've thought of church, like church is, I think it is being redefined right now. I don't know how it's going to turn out when we come back, but
what makes it difficult?
Were you going to say, Anthony?
Go ahead, Anthony.
Well, I was going to say, do you think it's being redefined, or maybe I'm a little jaded. Maybe I just feel like it's just going to go back to normal and nothing will have changed at all.
No, maybe it will.
Yeah.
But I think even if it goes back to normal, we're learning something right now, which is that if we were to go back to the way church has been, we're missing out on what's actually important to people. Like, I think we're doing less through our church services. I think I've thought this for a while, but I think it's becoming more clear. We're doing less through our church services than we've ever thought.
Yeah. So the problem is you have the balance, and we've had this conversation. I've had this conversation with a lot of people at my church, and a lot of it kind of comes down to, okay, well, we want to create more conversations or get people more, you know, try to figure out a format where people are more engaged. Mm-hmm. And Jesse, you mentioned the idea of fellowship, which is great. We have potluck every week at our church. It's great. It's probably it's probably what most of us just really look forward to. It's just sitting down, eating good food and talking, mm-hmm. Which is great. However, at the same time, you go on the other side and say, well, is church just supposed to be a social club? Is that what it's meant to be? Is the church's calling and mission meant to be more than a social gathering? Is there supposed to be more than that? And so you have that balance where obviously the lecture every week is not something that's very fulfilling for many of us. But if we didn't have any guidance or any purpose in our gathering except for us to eat food mm-hmm. and to talk and laugh, as great as that is, is that really what church is? And it might be a component, but what else should be there? And what percentage? You know, these are the questions I've thought about. And I remember what really led me to this was when the One Project started. Mm. And I remember going to the first One Project I, you know, went to, and I loved the conversation format after the small talks that were given by the pastors, right? They were much shorter, right? 10, 15 mm-hmm. minutes. And then you had table conversation, a round table of a bunch of people that you maybe knew, but maybe you didn't. Mm-hmm. And I really loved that. I was like, I wish this was church every time. Like we had that
See, but
balance.
The difference is that kind of methodology works better for people who come for that.
Yeah.
So it's a lot harder for someone to just step into a church service and like become part of church over time.
Oh yeah, you have to be,
It's like a little bit too, it's a kind of a high bar, which is part of why we do church the way we do. Like a lot of churches are seeker sensitive in essence, so that the church service is built around, we want people to feel comfortable coming here, you know, and I do agree that with what you're saying, Sean, that we need to have like a reason, a purpose. There needs to be some sort of growth happening there that isn't just like, oh, we're just talking about stuff. Like a teaching is important and worshiping together is important. All those things are important. But also at the same time, what's funny is I'm knocking in essence what you just said about gathering around a table and then talking about the sermon. But at the same time, I'd also agree that like, I think the whole let's all sit in rows and stare at the front is being exposed as one of the things that can very easily go as soon as we can't gather together.
Mm. Yeah, I get it. Because there's sense. Yeah, I agree. There's people that didn't pay $150 to be at a gathering to talk, right?
Yeah.
They're going to church and they're the ones that remain silent when you are trying to get the group talking, right?
Yeah.
Every church has those groups and, you know, whatever. That's fine. I get that we want to make it comfortable for people. So that maybe the follow-up question is, how do we figure out the balance between growth and depth and also you feel comfortable being here, like that balance?
I'm curious about that. But first, can I ask Eric, I'm curious about your perspective as someone who, like, you don't have to put church on every week. And Sean, you're a teacher, but you're also a teacher at a Christian school. Like, Eric, you work at Loma Linda University Hospital, you know, but your work and what church might be is separated more distinctly than the rest of us.
Definitely.
So do you feel like not having a church gathering has really affected you and your family?
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing that an interesting thing I've noticed is that I do actually miss, even though like we go to, you know, basically a mega church by Adventist standards, you know, it's a very different vibe from a small church where you kind of know everyone, mm-hmm. you know, everyone's like, you know, if it's a church you grew up in, you have long family friends there, you know, it's not like that, but there is something about being like in a room with everyone, you know, who like a big, large group of people who all have a similar faith, at least somewhat,
yeah,
you know, mm-hmm. something that unites all of you, and you're there to praise God and to learn more. You know, I have missed that. That's something that you can't really replicate or replace in an online format.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so let me ask you this. This is off the top of my head here, but so let's say that there was some sort of, like, okay, so we had
some sort of virus that outbroke that would force us to have services online and therefore cause
crazy thought.
I will say this. I'll say this. I think if we were able, because, you know, we're all like in quarantine, basically locked down. Like, if we were able to get together with our core friends on Sabbath and mm-hmm. have a Bible study, I don't know how much I would miss traditional church, I guess.
Yeah, so
I really resonate with that. And, you know, we both joked about like, oh, I don't go to church because I'm at seminary. And I think the reality is I don't a lot. Well, actually, the real truth is I do a lot because I play music a lot and I'm always being asked, not because I'm great, but because I am available.
Simply because you can play guitar. Nobody actually likes what you do.
No one likes me. No.
They just need your skill.
Exactly. I'm being used. No, I play a lot of musical instruments, so people ask me to play a lot. So I go to church a lot to play, so I'm usually involved in, like, up front. But, like, my need,
No playing in the sanctuary, Anthony.
Ooh, sorry. Yeah, I'm breaking that rule.
It's a holy sanctuary. God lives there.
I feel like my need for that, I feel like, what, you know, since I do have like a core good group of friends and we gather together on Friday nights and we have like a little Bible study, we worship together, we play music and we talk through the scriptures. Like, I don't feel a huge need for the big gathering, at least during this season of my life. I don't know that that's, you know, me saying like for the rest of my life, like, you know, we should do away with church services. But I resonate with what you're saying, Eric, just to say that like, just,
well, that's what I'm wondering. So let's say that Crosswalk or a church that you liked or a speaker and in musicians, in essence, a church continue to function, but function online primarily and had resources and ways for you to set stuff up with friends and things like that. Do you think that, so I guess in essence, you watched the service, you heard the sermon, you know, whatever it was, maybe there wasn't even music, you just heard a sermon and your main form of church was gathering with friends and a few other people, you know, in your general area. Like, would that be something that even if church started up again, that you would find yourself doing?
Yeah. It's a good question. I think man. You mean in like in terms of doing that instead of like
going yeah, to so actually church? Going to a physical location, like oh yeah, we can get up whenever we want to get the kid ready, you know, go to the park with, you know, you guys are in Southern California, so yeah. You actually have sun. You guys can go to the park and hang out, and in the course of that conversation, as long as you guys all kind of agree to watch the sermon while you guys are getting ready, mm-hmm. or something like that, and then you get to the park, you guys are playing stuff like that. Maybe you don't talk about the sermon, maybe you do. But that kind of helps create that. I mean, there's a community in which you have to talk through stuff. And
yeah, I don't know. It's kind of hard to say, right? Because never like fully tried that. You know, it's like so ingrained kind of in us to go to church on Sabbath.
To go to a physical location. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, at least, you know, you might miss a week or two here or there, but. You know,
oh, but like, as a pastor, I get people who profusely apologize if they miss a couple of weeks. They're like, oh, I'm so sorry I haven't been here. I'm like, it's okay.
What's your
chill.
Name?
Sometimes that, but no, usually it's just like, chill, it's okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I would miss the, you know, a nice thing about Crosswalk is they usually have pretty good, like worship music there. And I enjoy yeah. that part of it. I think I'd miss that. I'm not really the kind of someone grab a guitar in the friend group and just like, let's all sing songs.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would love to see Eric do that. I would love to see Eric be the one to grab a guitar and just bust. Hey guys, let's sing Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus.
Well, but that's interesting because like we make music such a big part of being a Christian, uh-huh. in essence. And what's really interesting is that if you think about music over the course of history, is it used to be a lot more congregational.
Yeah.
And when I say congregational, I don't even mean like a big congregation of people. I mean like it was choral, it was vocally based, you know, so you're not having to have some expert musician play, mm-hmm. right? So you could go sit around a tree like Lydia, you know, and Paul and a few other people in the Bible, and just do what we would call church, which church means gathering. And so they'd have a gathering and they'd talk, and Paul would probably just start preaching. And I mean, like there's an organic part of it that is hard to replicate.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's something about that that's just like, oh man, that sounds nice.
There's definitely an appeal to that. I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it kind of reminds me back, you know, when we were in college, how we would, yeah, well, I mean, I was thinking like, you know, we'd come to one of our dorm rooms and just like all have a talk or whatever. Or when we were planning Circle Church on a Friday night, we'd just kind of hang out after we finished setting up.
Yeah, and it would turn into like a theological discussion or yeah, not.
Like a discussion it could. Or play some music yeah. or stuff like that. I don't know.
So, or Eric and I would be left in and we'd just be jamming by ourselves.
That's true.
I remember those jams, Eric.
Those good times.
Putting Looking Sean for a City on the loudspeaker.
Sean would be asleep at 7:30 p.m.
For a City.
Sean would be asleep at 7:30 p.m. because that's what he used to do.
Yeah, that's really true.
I still do that. I mean, now I have an excuse, but it's really
just because you want to. But I mean,
I had a shower at 7:30 p.m. yesterday. My first shower of the day.
There's an organic nature to what you're talking about, Eric, which kind of sounds nice. I mean, like, yes, the really produced, well done church service, like there seems to be a place for that, but it's like if that didn't exist,
yeah,
would it be better? I'm not even saying that it shouldn't. I'm just wondering, would it be better
if that didn't exist? Would it force us to grow our spiritual lives ourselves?
It depends on your group. Like, that's the thing, is it depends,
that
right?
That hurts to even think about, yeah.
Because you could say like, okay, our group started a thing on the Wawa University campus. Like, it's like, okay, let's just make a new church.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, so that's like Eric was talking about, Circle Church, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, you could say that our group, we'd probably do fine with two of you being pastors and, you know, I mean, whatever, we'd be fine, but, you know,
and one of you being a good pastor.
Wait, did you say only one of us is a good pastor?
Just don't say which one. Eric, we'll leave it in the comments. We'll let people decide which one is the better pastor.
That's even worse than saying neither of them are good pastors, because now we...
you've created contention between us. Now a feud will begin.
Anthony and I will never be friends again.
You know what they say, Jesse, but the darker the skin, the better the pastor.
That's what everybody says. You're like three shades darker.
So, I mean, that's
a tough question.
But it depends on the group, right? Because some people kind of need that guidance, right? Or they need, like, you know, there's people even at our church, like, because our church was there and they happened upon it and they saw that community that they didn't have that was good for them, that helped them find that community they needed. It helped bring positive change to their lives. So if that institution wasn't there, if that building, that place, that physical place, that if that wasn't there, then those people wouldn't have that. They'd still be at home. They wouldn't have that connection.
That's
true, because there's another aspect of this which is hard, which is, you know, having that kind of organic group is great when there's like four or five couples, you know, maybe three or four of you guys who will get together on a day-to-day or on a week-to-week basis or something like that. But as soon as you get to like 20 or 30, it's kind of like, ooh, we can't do this. But then to recreate that group elsewhere without some sort of pastoral guidance is, at least from experience, not from my own experience, but from like the world's experience, that doesn't seem to work very well.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, to what Sean was saying, kind of agreeing with you, like, if the way that we have done church all this time is done away with, you know, post this event, like, what's the alternative? Is it even better? And is it even possible? Because, and I only say that because, and I don't say this in a mean way. You guys know me. I tend not to be a mean person. And so I don't say this in a mean way. People are nuts. Like, people are, people.
You're talking about the crazies, like the spiritual crazies who will come up to you and be like, the world's ending tomorrow type of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Like, well, and
so Adventists.
Yeah. Maybe I should be a little more sensitive and specific. I think so many people are, number one, low education, number two, emotionally unhealthy, number three.
You're not coming back from this.
This is not sounding nice, Anthony.
You just called everyone crazy.
No, I'm not saying.
I proceeded to break the crazy people into smaller groups.
Yeah, I am. I'm saying, when you look at most people, especially religious people, we're going to be honest, like, so many people are like emotionally unhealthy, like,
mm-hmm. No, it's very true.
People, and so I'm not saying they need some like on high leader. I'm not saying I'm a special boy that's going to be the leader to guide them through the Red Sea. I'm saying that people, like, without any framework, I feel like we all have our brokenness, right? You know, so I'm even looking within, you know, looking at myself and saying, like, all of us together, like, you know, if there's no framework, then if we're doing away with the old framework, what's the new framework?
You're saying that the chances of a breakout group of like seven people who are all convinced that Jesus was, you know, from the planet Xenon,
it's so high.
Highly possible.
Well, yeah, I'm saying, yeah. Like,
if not probable in that kind of model.
The probability of having lots of small groups that organically happen with no oversight and they're genuinely good and life-giving, I feel like maybe I'm a cynic, but I feel like.
Well, people, also noticed that I accidentally just described Mormonism. And that's a fully fledged religion.
That's kind of true.
Wait, Mormons think Jesus is from planet Xenon?
I don't know what planet, but that Jesus, you know, Jesus
listen,
was born
there's
elsewhere.
An amazing animation that explains Mormonism on YouTube somewhere. It's incredible.
Ooh,
it's like a Hanna-Barbera style. It's incredible.
Hanna-Barbera.
But I think, Anthony, I don't even disagree with you. I guess my point is that there are crazy, like, Scientology exists.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's fully fledged. Those are adults, you know, and it's a large group of adults, you know.
Exactly.
So is it really crazy? At the same time, I also, like, think that,
is it even helpful? And would those groups be life-giving for people, I guess?
Yeah.
Would be my question.
Yeah, because house churches are really hard to carry on.
It's tough.
That's something that I've heard I've heard and seen.
There's one near campus that I have a friend who's involved with, and it's so life giving. It's so great. It's vibrant. The people are so kind and loving. But I again, maybe I'm a cynic. I always think that the most positive versions of things tend to be outliers.
Yeah, like to recreate that exact thing would probably fail 90% of the time. And that's a totally made up statistic. Wow, words.
But then again,
it kind of feels that way.
Exactly. But then again, on the flip side, we're the product of a totally organic religious system that happened totally organically from groups of people telling other groups of people.
Did you just bring Seventh-day Adventist history into this?
No, I'm bringing like church history, like Christian history, like we're the product of literally the thing I'm saying is impossible to happen, you know.
True. Yeah. But that's the thing though is, oh man,
that's okay, the whole book of Acts.
Maybe, you know, we can't have this conversation right now, but it does make me wonder if that's the way it began. Does that mean revival now in that way? Or are we doomed to the needing to have organized large church? Maybe doomed isn't the right word, but like, do we have to do that? Is that the way it must be? I guess I wonder.
Are we talking about seeking what they sought, meaning the original Christians?
We might be, you know. Maybe it's not even Adventist. Maybe it's just going back to
the beginning.
To Paul, because that is something that's interesting to me in this time. It's like more than ever we're living out our Christianity, even though we can't do it in a normal way. But when church goes, now all of a sudden we all have to be Christians.
Mm-hmm.
You know, without any claim to, I went to church this weekend, which, and I don't, who is the one, was it you, Eric, that said, man, like, if we didn't have the big church, would we be forced to be followers of Jesus in a different way? And I do think that that's true. I don't know what that looks like, but.
Question. Yeah. I feel like, yeah, you had something to say, Eric.
No, I just, yeah, I'm trying to think through it too. I mean, I think there's definitely value in the traditional church service structure. I mean, thinking about, you know, not everybody has a solid group of friends that they can discuss their faith with and
that's true.
Dive deep with that, you know, into that. They need a family they can come to, or just a place to get, like you kind of brought up, spiritual direction. And guidance. I think it's kind of hard. I think what this movie has done is it's brought to light in a good way, you know, that just church isn't enough, right? And we all kind of know that.
You're talking about church services, right?
Yeah, like, church service.
Because that's part of the language. I'm making
so
that slip
easy
up, but I'm just clarifying.
The divine 11 a.m. service.
Divine service.
The divine
11:07.
Can I just talk about how, like, just to make this comment, that is one of the most hated things that I have about church or Adventism, is that statement right there.
You don't,
divine
you don't
service.
Like that?
Hate it.
Divine service.
Hate it.
The divine hour.
I absolutely hate it.
Why is it even, sorry, Eric. Why is it even called a service? What's the history behind that?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Ooh, that's a good question. Someone Google it really quickly and act like you're like, you know, the knower of all like things.
Her. Well, in 1545.
Under the same, can find a similar answer. Where did the word narthex come from?
That's a word.
Oh,
word?
Gosh.
Narthex. It's
I'm a
church
person.
Word.
What does that mean?
Narthex. Isn't that
narthex
the lobby?
Is like
the foyer?
Part of the church.
Oh, I've never heard that word.
I've never
isn't that the church
that
foyer?
I thought it was like the thing in the Catholic churches that was between the one thing and the other thing in the actual building.
That sounds like something from Battlestar Galactica.
We're delving into.
But that's where we got it. That's where we got it.
But where does
Battlestar Galactica is where we got
from?
Ellen White was like that.
Guys, we need to have a whole episode just on defining words. Like, where do these things come from?
Yep.
I'm internally giggling at the idea of Ellen White watching Battlestar Galactica.
So I think this conversation has, weirdly enough, like, I started out the question like, you know, is this changing us or whatever? It's coming back around to, yeah, I do think that traditional church is what we need. But at the same time, if this doesn't spark some sort of difference in what we value and the way we do things, and how we as followers of Jesus engage not with the church service but with each other and the world around us, I think then all of this kind of goes to waste in a church sense, like in a followers of Jesus sense. Because if we just go straight back to, okay, yeah, let's just kind of like sit in pews.
Yeah. And he's gone.
He's gone.
Thanks so much for listening.
Thanks for listening to Seeking What They Sought. We'll see you next time.
I mean, let's be honest. None of us were listening to him anyway, so.
I hope we keep that in. Ooh, we should keep this in just for kicks and giggles.
Go ahead and talk. Oh, he's back.
Oh, he's back.
We did, Jesse, we said nothing about you.
What were you saying?
I said something about pews. Yeah, like if this all goes the way that, like, we just go back to the way things were, like, we're just wasting a huge learning experience, which is that the church was never about sitting in pews and listening to someone talk. Like, church was always about gathering together and being with others and not just seeing value in each other, but actually growing that group because you cared about the people around you and outside of that group. Like, that's a huge part of it too. And so, I don't know, like, I just feel like if we go back to sitting in a pew or a chair watching a sermon, I think we'll miss the whole point of all this. Not the point, but the immense learning opportunity that this has given us.
Yeah. Are you
go ahead. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
All right. I'll go.
Let's do that for the rest of the episode, Sean. Go ahead. No. Why don't you go?
I'll see if I can. Okay.
No, go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. So it brings it, like, what Jesse, what you said, I mean, okay, if we learn from this, I mean, we try to end with the idea that we have something practical to share. So is there a cookie cutter way we can say, this is how, if every Adventist church did this, we'd be better off. If we added this or subtracted that, this would make church more organic and foster good conversation while allowing it to be comfortable for different people, whether you're introverted, extroverted, if you don't want to talk, if you just need to listen that day. But for those that really need to process by having that discussion, you know, what would be, is there a format that works for everyone, or is that just up to each church?
And before you answer that question, a second question, perhaps, is there not some value and merit to the ancient tradition of believers gathering together to open the scriptures together and talk publicly? Because is that not also, I mean, you look back as far as Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount, you know, like, is there not some, there, you know, like, us gathering together in a room, listening to someone talk about scriptures doesn't poof out of existence out of nowhere, right? There is some sort of historical reason why we do it, right? So is there not, and I know that for me, maybe that's part one of what I want to say. Part two is I'm a super auditory person as well. So I love listening to sermons, and I love gathering together for like music and worship. And I actually really love the act of the church gathering moment, even though more recently I have really appreciated not having to do it because I'm in seminary. So yeah, I wonder as well, is there, in whatever we, you know, the new thing could look like, is there room for, you know, a gathering?
Yeah. So for all the different groups and ways that we learn, ways that we grow spiritually and connect as a church community, like, is there a formula? Is there a way that if we were putting that bulletin together for how it's going to look, is there an ideal way, or does that not exist?
Because it seems like it's either like you just said, Sean, it seems like either it doesn't exist and it's impossible to define and it's super nebulous and it's like, well, just gather together and do whatever you want. Or maybe that's what like our parents' generation would say if we were having this conversation to like the GC. They would be like, well, what is it going to look like? It's going to be super nebulous. You sound like you're saying nothing. Or is it like, do we just create a new format? And then in that, are we just creating another format that is equally unhelpful, perhaps? Maybe I don't even agree with what I'm saying right now. I'm just verbally processing.
Yeah. I mean, is there an answer? that's what I'm trying to look for. I mean, I'm not going to say I have a million answers to this, because these are the conversations we had even before all of this stuff has been going on.
That's very true.
And again, we've had some helpful things, but there still seem to be a group that gets left out in the church and something with the way that we do church. And I always kind of wondered, man, how can we get them involved in a way that they're not feeling uncomfortable, but we help them desire that connection with the church. Mm-hmm. We desire to see them grow spiritually and for us to have better friendships and relationships. And, you know, what is that, you know, what does that really look like on a consistent basis?
Yeah, it's a tough one. The silence is kind of nice.
Thanks so much for listening, guys. That's it.
That's, welcome to, thanks for listening to Seeking What We Sought.
I don't know if I can speak of what the church should do. I think for me, moving forward from this, and I guess we'll see how long this lasts, because we're kind of just in the beginning of it.
Yeah, it's nuts.
I feel like for me, it's kind of reopen my eyes to the fact that, you know, it's so easy to kind of fall into the trap of church is your, like, you know, that's like your check mark for spiritual
connection.
Spiritual, yeah, connection or searching for the week, or at least for the, you know, the weekend maybe.
Yeah.
And I think it's kind of made me personally think about, you know, kind of taking away that crutch in a way of like, okay, what am I actually doing to grow closer to God?
Ooh, that's a good one. Though it forces you into the question of like, wait, where's my spirituality at? What am I doing?
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, that's always been something that church is always like, yeah, think about your spirituality. But this actually forces you into it because nobody else is doing it for you.
Yeah.
I mean, like, because we inherently know that like a sermon on TV isn't really doing it for us.
Yeah. There's like kind of that, there's like zero effort on your part. So you don't feel like you've earned anything.
Well, what's funny though, is like, that's kind of, yeah, that's what our church services can be. Is that they can be zero effort on the part of those of us who attend. Mm-hmm. And yet it feels like we've accomplished something. And so I think it's this weird placebo effect where it's like, ah, look, I did something by going. And mm-hmm. I think that's what this is exposing. You already said this, Eric, but that's what this is exposing, is like, no, us just being in a building, you know, sitting down. I know you said something about being an auditory learner, Anthony.
Yeah.
But I've also heard studies that that's complete BS. So, yeah, good luck with that. but no,
fair.
My point is that the whole idea of us just being in a building, being around other people who believe the same thing, that there is goodness in that, and each of us needs a season of that. But if that's all it is, then it's, yeah, like, it's not really what church is. And it's just, it's kind of that, it's that thing that just convinces us we've done something, even though we haven't accomplished it, anything.
Yeah. Mm. I think church is basically a pillar of our faith, right? And mm-hmm. a house can't stand on one pillar unless it's a tree house, I guess. But
then the metaphor is
your
void.
Argument just completely
you just collapsed your own metaphor.
Nobody wants, it's not practical to live in a tree house.
Oh my so. Word.
Tell that to the Swiss Family Robinson
and Tarzan
and Robinson right. Crusoe.
Thanks for listening to Seeking What They Sought.
And Peter
Donkey
Pan.
Kong.
And all the elves in Lord of the Rings.
The Smurfs.
What were you saying about a house can't stand on one pillar? Because apparently it doesn't work anymore.
Your metaphor does stand.
What I'm trying to say is that church needs to be a part of our faith, but it definitely, it can't be our entire faith journey.
Mm. So,
I think if anything, though, this is my last two cents. I think if anything, this is showing us how little of a part it ought to, it, how small of a percentage it ought to be. That's just my two cents.
Sean, Anthony, what are your closing thoughts?
I mean, Sean? There's also the Keebler house.
Oh my gosh.
You forgot Chippendale.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, anyway.
And there was also Chippendales.
There was that one-off episode of Code Lyoko where they...
What are you even talking about?
There's also
also the whole planet of Kashyyyk in the Star Wars universe.
Ooh, yes, that's true. Star Wars.
Closing thoughts.
Oh, man.
Sean, you go or me? We need to establish who's talking.
No, I think it... Okay, to answer my own question of, you know, is there a cookie-cutter answer? I don't think there is, like, just something that the GC could send out, like, hey, do this as a format for all Adventist churches and it'll work. But I do hope, like Jesse said, that this does force us to think about what's important and to look at our own church and see what our needs are and try to at least start the conversation of what would be meaningful to us. And so if that means more conversations, one project style, great. If that means we look at how sermons are done to create more depth and to be intentional about, you know, how that is received, then yeah, and that can go into music, that can go into outreach. And it's figuring out, you know, does your church have a clear mission and are we following that? So if we're looking at what church is supposed to be and, you know, you get into the whole Great Commission about, you know, sharing, not just keeping it in our church walls, but growing and thriving and taking care of other people, then yeah, mm-hmm. we need to look at what our mission is and be united in that and let that guide what it looks like when we come together on Sabbath and beyond that.
The Karawi people in Indonesia, suspected tribe of cannibals, live in tree houses, just to let you know.
Well, that's what I get.
This is a sign. This is a sign we should stop. Anthony, share your thoughts.
I don't know that I have any perfect concluding thoughts. I think that I really resonated with what Eric said about church, the lack of having a physical gathering every week. It does sort of expose the real state, I think, of your own spiritual life, because it is so easy to use the gathering as your spiritual life in entirety, even for a pastor. And I think that I haven't quite figured out how to replace it, to be honest. I don't really know. I think that I've been trying to do a lot more reading, but it's hard. I think, to be honest, I've just been wasting a lot of time and I've been playing video games and I've just been like wasting time and doing unproductive things. And, even on Sabbath, I found myself kind of wasting time. And yeah, so I think that I'm not quite sure what it means or what it looks like, but I think if anything, at least for me, this time has definitely, it's almost like, you know, God himself has handed everyone like a little mirror and is like, can we just go back to basics? Like, remember you and me, you know? And I think that I need that. I think that I need to live in what I just said, because I don't think I really have. And yeah. Those are the words that I think.
I think that's a really good way. Good way to end it.
Well, there we have it, another episode of Seeking What They Sought in the Bag. Thank you guys once again for tuning in and listening to us and spending some time with us. I want to, of course, not forget to thank our 7-time Gummy Worm Championship winning producer, Eric Edstrom, just for what you do, for eating all those gummy worms, for being the master. We appreciate you. And of course, hope you guys are all staying safe, staying healthy. Wish you the best. You're all in our thoughts. And we'll see you next time on another episode of Seeking What They Sought.